Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 5:30 and this is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person, including tonight, the man who thinks buses should be free on the Isle of Man. Cruise liners may come under Manx licensing laws, farmers' pockets were hit by last year's drought, the speeding through Bala Beg, what's the answer? And the new ultrasound machines at Nobles Hospital.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the news headlines now. Faster May, Rhiann Evans.
Faster May. A meeting has been called to discuss drivers continuing to speed through Bala Beg. Villagers will have a chance to discuss the issue at a meeting tomorrow night, which has been arranged following concerns about traffic speeds and congestion at the parish primary school. A local advocate believes the Manx tax regime could be an easy target during the UK general election. Paul Beckett of Man Benham Advocates says all the main parties could use tax as part of their campaigns. Police are continuing to find cars with lighting defects more than a week after the launch of the annual Winter Checks initiative. The Western Neighbourhood Policing Team stopped 20 vehicles yesterday, six of which had faulty lights. From further afield, Boris Johnson's insisted we have no choice but to vote in a general election as he launched the Tory campaign in Downing Street. The UK Prime Minister's accused MPs of refusing to deliver Brexit. Meanwhile, there's already been a setback to the launch of the Conservative campaign. Wales Secretary Alan Cairns has quit after being accused of brazenly lying about a Tory candidate's role in a rape trial. The number of working days lost through sickness absence increased by around 10 million last year. The Office for National Statistics says we spend an estimated 141 million days tucked up at home because of illness or injury. And a track recorded by George Michael before his death in 2016 has been released. It's called This Is How and features in the film Last Christmas, which was inspired by the pop star's music. Those are the headlines. I'll have more news for you at 6. I'm Rhiann Evans, Manx Radio News.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
28 minutes to 6 on Manx Radio from the Isle of Man. I'm Andy Wint. And to check the weather, let's see what's happening tonight.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
A shower evening across the Isle of Man with a fresh easterly breeze, 6 degrees, the overnight minimum temperature. For Thursday, Jourdain, intermittent showers on a fresh to strong northeasterly, 9 degrees top temperature. Friday, Jahenya, dry with sunny intervals, a nice day, fresh breeze and 8 degrees, sunrise in the morning, 7:30. The next tide around the Isle of Man is high water at 7:07, the overnight low tide 2:06 a.m. and tomorrow morning's high water 8:13.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
Good evening, it's 27 minutes to 6 and our newsmaker tonight is Devon Watson, spokesman for the Fare Free campaign, wants the island's bus service to operate free of charge on all routes. Devon, good evening. Where did the idea come from?
Hi Andy, great to be here. Well, the idea came from, one, our government has declared a climate emergency, so they should probably start acting on that. And secondly, we've seen this idea work in about 100 towns and cities around the world. Some of the largest being Estonia, who've extended a successful program in their capital city to the entire country after they made it free, to Luxembourg, who've made it free, to Dunkirk in France, who've made it free, and they've seen great results from that. So we should be able to take great policy from around the world and bring it here if it has good results for their populations.
We're going to have to move to mass transportation then on the Isle of Man. Lots of people use their own cars to get to and from work, to and from leisure. Who's going to pay for it, first of all, and how will you get people out of their cars?
So we have to talk about how we're going to pay for it. When we talk about that, we have to sort of cross-compare that to the costs. So in the UK, they spend about £150 billion every year importing fuel and about £40 billion importing vehicles. This is despite the fact that they've got a domestic oil industry and massive amounts of cars, which amounts to about £3,000 per person per year. The costs on the Isle of Man that we spend individually on private vehicle usage are far higher than that, because this doesn't even take into account maintenance or insurance costs or the higher cost of imports or the fact that we don't have a domestic industry that sort of can offset those costs. So free public transport would cost around about 4 million quid, which comes down to £72 per person per year. If you cross compare the cost of free public transport being £72 per year to the more than £3,000, even if we can decrease private car usage by 10%, free public transport pays for itself many, many times over. This is not to take into account the other sorts of savings that we receive from this, from the fact that you no longer have to operate ticketing machines, that the fact that you no longer have to means test large chunks of the population, and the fact that like this is money that goes right back into the pockets of middle and working class people.
What sort of research do you have to back this up? Have you asked the public?
Well, the government has done this research for us. They launched a consultation earlier this year. And of the 1,000 people who surveyed, which is probably one of the most responded to surveys that the government's done, apart from a survey on cannabis, which obviously had much, much higher results. But about 80% of people said that they supported the idea of free public transport, as well as a vast majority of those who agreed with it supporting the idea strongly. So this is a mainstream idea.
Devon Watson from the Fare Free campaign talking with us tonight on Update. How many extra buses will we have to buy for all this?
Well, I have no idea how the exact number of extra buses we'd have to buy. I assume that this idea would be done in a phased rollout of trials. We assume that the new buses that would be bought would probably be electric or hybrid buses, and we'd probably increase buses on routes as the fares, as more people typically tend to use those routes.
Okay, you'll be accused of being simplistic in this. This is a fairly idealistic generalization. What are the specifics of it? What will be the first step? Government buy-in, public consultation, what?
I assume that we'd have like a public buy-in. We're going to continue to spread the idea and talk about the facts on the case. We've got the math on our side and we've got the facts on our side. And we've got average everyday people who'd benefit from this on our side. So we'd probably want to get the government on our side as well. That's going to take a bit of persuasive work, but there are elections coming up in 2021. So let's see what happens there.
So you'd like to see candidates committing to this in a manifesto?
Hopefully, we'd like to see candidates committing to that in a manifesto. Hopefully, the elected representatives we have at the moment will be receptive to the idea if that works. But this is an idea. We've got a climate emergency. We should get done with this like as soon as possible if we want to start making a significant impact.
Okay, and other jurisdictions, you were saying this happens in Luxembourg.
This is being rolled out in Luxembourg in 2020, but probably the most notable example and the one that has greatest purchase in the Allemagne is Dunkirk. Dunkirk is a city in France that has a lower budget allocated per citizen than the Allemagne, so they don't have as much money than us, but they implemented this, and they found that the amount of people using a car usage decreased by 40%, and usage of the bus services increased by 60%. Massive positive result, because this was increased with the fact that they improved the routes, they made them more regular, and they gave people a solid alternative. Too often, climate change action has been one of those things where we chastise individual people and we make life more expensive and convenient. What if we give people a free alternative and make the environmental option also the most profitable and affordable option?
Okay, Devon Watson from the Fare Free campaign. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, what's your contact point?
You can get in touch with our Facebook page, which is the Fare Free campaign Isle of Man, or you can get hold of us on Instagram, Fare Free campaign, also there. Or you can send us an email at fairfreecampaign@gmail.com.
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
When a cruise liner throws its anchor out in Douglas Bay, should the licensing laws that apply to the Isle of Man apply to the vessel? At present, it appears it doesn't, because when regulations were carried, were arrived at some years ago, we didn't have many or indeed any cruise liners berthing in the Isle of Man. But Onken MHK Julie Edge thinks we need to look at it, perhaps to protect Manx businesses. Surely any restriction on liners coming here will prove a disincentive for the cruise trade to expand?
It's not about that, John. It's making sure that we've got the correct legislation in place.
Well, it is about that, isn't it? Aren't we trying to encourage them?
Yes, we do want to encourage them. And obviously we had a higher number of cruise ships in this year. However, I have been on a cruise. cruise, and I'm very conscious that when you're on cruises in different jurisdictions, that they do close the bars, they do close the casinos. So I was interested, and I'd been approached by a constituent, so I thought I'll look at the legislation, which I have done, and it does apply to our territorial waters.
What are those constituents saying? What is their concern?
Well, is it fair that money could be getting spent on cruise ships or there when we're trying to build our economy? So it's really that balance that I'm looking for, to make sure that if there is a benefit to our economy, that we should be receiving that.
But the reason for going on a cruise liner is that you can retire to the cruise liner's bar, you can retire to the facilities there. If you're starting having officers coming on board saying thou shalt not, what effect is that going to have?
That doesn't happen on a cruise ship, John. You're very aware when you're pulling into that you get the information from the cruise liners. So it's just making sure if the legislation is there that we're in compliance with it.
After hearing the answer, where do you think your concerns have got to?
I didn't think they got very far, so I will be following up on it because it's quite clear in the legislation. It actually states in the Act, any functions or jurisdiction conferred by this Act extend to the whole of the island and all places within the seaward limits of the territorial sea of the island. So it is our territorial waters that this Act applies to. So I will follow it up. The Minister's given me that opportunity, and I will do that.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Bat McCree left Heysham at 2:15 this afternoon, arriving shortly in Douglas and heading out at 7:45 this evening for Heysham. The overnight boat from Heysham into the Isle of Man tomorrow morning, bringing in the papers, of course, and many passengers and freight, will arrive 6:00 tomorrow morning. But the outbound tomorrow morning, the 8:45 Douglas Ben McCree to Heysham, and due to adverse weather forecast, the sailing subject to possible disruption or cancellation. To give the sailing every opportunity to take place. A final decision will be made tomorrow morning at 7:00 by the master. Stay tuned to Max Radio tomorrow morning. Listen to Chris Williams in the early morning for all the information about tomorrow morning's 8:45 Ben McCree to Heysham. Of course, if that doesn't depart, the subsequent 2:15 return from Heysham tomorrow afternoon won't return. Stay tuned to Manx Radio.
Sailings for 2020 are now available, with more than 900,000 special offer seats available during the year. Manx Radio's business briefing, powered by Y Manx.
Bad news for Marks & Spencer. Their profits dropped in the first half of its financial year following a sharp fall in demand for clothes and home goods. The high street retailer, of course, in Drumgold Street in Douglas, said that while its food business was outperforming the market, there had been issues in clothing and home. Marks & Spencer is currently undergoing a transformation led by Chief Executive Steve Rowe. He said that after a challenging first half, it's now seeing improvements. Overall, pre-tax profits tumbled by 17%. To $176.5 million on total sales down 2.1% to $4.8 billion.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets edge cautiously higher as investors continue to await direction on the US-China trade relations and react to corporate earnings. American stocks were little changed, struggling to sustain the recent rally that drove major averages to record highs. The dollar drifted lower while the market in consolidation mode as investors sought more clarity about the ongoing US-China trade negotiations. In corporate news, tobacco stocks were higher on the rise, with Imperial Brands and British American Tobacco both higher. And the numbers go like this. The FTSE 100 closed at just up a tenth of a percent at 7,396. The DAX in Germany up 0.25% at 13,179. A short time ago, the Dow Jones in New York was down 0.2% at 27,435. The NASDAQ tech stocks index down 0.25% at 8,412. And the S&P in Chicago down again 0.25% at 3,068. On the exchange markets, the pound was worth $1.28.7 and €1.16.2. Gold is up 0.5% at $1,491 per ounce. And Brent crude slightly down 1.5% at $61.82.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com.
Ramsey Crook Hall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
The chair of Arbury Commissioners says drivers continue to significantly break speed limits through Ballabeg. Villagers will have the chance to discuss the issue at a meeting tomorrow night, the 7th of November, that is, Thursday night. It's been arranged due to concerns about traffic speeds and congestion at the parish primary school during drop-off and pick-up times. Commissioners are looking for solutions to these problems, as chair of the board, Jane Glover, explained to our local Democracy reporter, Ewan Gorn.
I could talk for hours about this topic, and I'm sure it's not a problem unique to our neck of the woods. But certainly since we've actually had our Smiley Sid in and it's been capturing data for us, we've been quite surprised at how the majority of traffic is actually above the speed limit in the area.
So what sort of speeds?
In certain places, I think one was recorded at 72 miles an hour, which is obviously an exceptional one. But if you take the 75th percentile, which is what they use, I think it's 75th or 85th, you've got 38 in quite a lot of the zones that are actually 30. There's another area where heading towards Arbury School, it's 40 miles an hour. Now, we haven't been able to have Smiley Sid there, but you only have to walk along that piece of road and you know that the traffic is going above that speed.
There was the installation of the hump outside Friary Park on Ballabeg. Has that not helped slow traffic?
Yes, it has in that particular area. The speeds now have gone down by an average of 10 miles per hour. So definitely that has slowed the traffic in that area. However, there are still areas within the rest of the village where people are wanting to walk their children to school. And it's a perception, it's a feeling that the cars are speeding past them.
Have there been near misses then?
There have actually been a couple of times that people have been clipped by wing mirrors of cars that have been reported to me. And I think, especially as at the moment the government are looking in urban areas at reducing or introducing more 20 mile an hour zones, we've actually asked about that and they've said villages aren't actually part of the scheme.
What do the commissioners want to see to address this problem?
What we'd like is open conversation between the members of the public that are concerned, and we've got Jeff Robinson, Director of Highways, coming down. So they'll be able to interact directly with him, voice their concerns, but I think what's really important is some of them have come up for ideas and solutions, and I think that's what we'd like to get out of the meeting. It may be something that the highways have considered, but that the individuals are able to say, I understand that, however, this is still a problem. Can we not revisit that?
And the meeting gets underway Thursday evening at 7:30 in Arbury Parish Hall.
Manx Radio Sport
with Chris Cave.
Vastamai, good evening. In football, St George's and Peel meet in the Isle of Man FA Under-18 League this evening. Whatever happens, one of these sides will go top of the table in the early stages of the campaign tonight. Geordies have beaten Corinthians and drawn with Douglas Royal so far this term, meaning a point would be enough to get them to the summit. Meanwhile, the Westerners have won the only game they've played, and those 3 points this evening would see them go top. Kick-off at the Bowl is 6:15 this evening. Further afield, Arsenal boss Unai Emery has defended his decision to strip Granit Xhaka of the Arsenal captaincy ahead of today's Europa League match. The midfielder swore and gesticulated at fans who jeered him as he was substituted in a 2-2 Premier League draw with Crystal Palace. Emery's also left Xhaka out of the squad to face Vitória later. Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill has named an unchanged squad for the upcoming Euro 2020 qualifiers against the Netherlands and Germany. Watford's Craig Cathcart is included despite coming off injured in Saturday's Premier League game with Chelsea. Speaking in an interview today, former England captain Chris Robshaw says Saracens have dragged rugby union into a dark place. The reigning Premiership champions have been deducted 35 points and fined £5 million for breaching the salary cap. Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't expect his squad to change much between now and the end of the season. Speaking ahead of his side's Europa League tie with Partizan Belgrade tomorrow, Solskjaer says despite their slow start to the season, he can't see major incomings in the next transfer window. And Manchester City will reach the last 16 of the Champions League if they beat Atalanta tonight. Elsewhere, Tottenham face Red Star Belgrade. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Minutes to 6 on update. A Manx Trust is helping improve the island's healthcare service. The Henry Bloom Noble Trust has donated 2 new ultrasound machines to Noble's Hospital, costing more than £70,000. The equipment hopes to provide an advanced monitoring and diagnosis service to patients during pregnancy and childbirth. The Henry Blue Noble Trustee and MHK, Dr. Alex Allenson, says identifying improvements in healthcare is a key aim.
What we do is try to obviously help Nobles Hospital and the doctors on the Isle of Man provide the best service possible. Once the need had been identified, obviously we work very closely with the management at Nobles to make sure we get the right equipment. We respond to them and their need. But then it was just a matter of identifying which company they wanted to buy them from and put the order in. So these have actually been ordered and are actually in use within a month or so of us being told that they were needed.
Where does the money come from? How do you raise £70,000?
That's a very good question. The trust was set up originally by Henry Blue Noble, but actually over the years we've been extremely happy to take bequests, donations from a whole range of very generous people on the island, which has allowed us to actually spreads the funding of all these projects over the years and continue into the future.
Paediatrician consultant Dr. Prakash Tegarajan spoke to Tia Welsh about the impact the trust is having.
We are thrilled with this donation of the two ultrasound machines. It's like having an old television from the 50s, black and white, to having a LED TV.
How will these help your patients?
This is a state-of-the-art machine that can scan heads, hearts, and abdomens. These definitely have better image quality and are able to improve the diagnostic time quite easily. It also has the facility to transfer the images. Often we need very expert interpretation, in which case we can essentially just email the images across to an expert in the area and get their opinion. One is going to live in the antenatal section, which is looking after women who are pregnant, and one is going to live in our neonatal unit. This means that our babies don't need to be transported out to the radiology department. We can actually get it done at the bedside, and the image quality is fantastic, aiding us with quite rapid diagnosis of conditions that often require immediate treatment.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Everything's fine on the roads. The Matrix side's currently reporting no problems. The ongoing problems, of course, Douglas Road, Ballasalaby, Blackboards, that temporary two-way 24-hour traffic signal in operation enabling service connections for the new housing estate. The Corrick Road in St John's closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site through until mid-January next year. Glen Road in Laxey closed through to at least the 7th of February next year. But of course, Laxey remains open for business elsewhere. Yes, the promenade still ongoing at the airport. Everything's inbound okay. The 10 past 5 BA to London City departed some 10 minutes late. And the 25 to 6 Dublin left 4 minutes late. But everything's fine for the 5 to 6 Edinburgh flight as well. For more information, go to manxradio.com. There's a full page of planes, trains, boats, buses, roadworks, and the prom at manxradio.com, and a page of 18 webcams to peruse.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions 670145.
The extremely dry conditions farmers faced last year have been reflected in the government's National Income Survey. They show a significant drop in overall income in agriculture, forestry and fishing, close to 30%, almost a third. Currently, depressed beef prices are having a telling effect, but the warm days the public enjoyed came at a cost for the Manx farming industry. Andrew Cooper is the General Secretary of the Manx National Farmers Union.
In 2017-18, we had a long period of drought which ran from May right through until July. So it was 12 weeks where the crops basically didn't grow, and that knock-on effect throughout the end of last year, and it will continue on into next year's accounts as well.
Unfortunately, even when the rain falls and the grass grows, there is a finite market. You can't make more than there is market available.
No, in 2019 we've had a very good crop of grass this year, but the Isle of Man only needs a certain amount of product, so all it does is actually depresses the price. So if we overproduce, the average price across the board goes down.
Are farmers able to withstand these losses?
In short term, yes. So over a period of 1 or 2 years, we have very understanding bank managers who are happy to loan to value of farms and farm properties. If it were ever to tip over that loan to value balancing point, then the companies wouldn't be able to continue trading.
So what do the farmers need, ideally in weather terms, over the next few years? Perfect conditions?
At average conditions, a mild autumn, a warm but not too dry summer, and a little bit of frost in the winter, but again, no snow. But that would be ideal. If we could get that for the next 5 or 10 years, that would be fantastic.
The problem is we're not getting normal weather these days. We are getting quite disparate conditions.
We are, and this is some of the effects of climate change. And the farmers do monitor the weather, and they do believe in climate change. And they do whatever they can to mitigate it where possible.
The government obviously has declared a climate emergency. Is it giving support in these extreme conditions?
It is, to an extent. It offers some financial support and it offers technical advice on how to deal with extreme weather events. But ultimately, the government can't control the weather, so the farmers do have to change their farming practices, move stock indoors earlier as it moves into winter, and perhaps move them outdoors later in the spring if the ground is still too wet. And all of those add costs into a business and change the way we farm.
How sorry do you feel for the BBC, by the way? The BBC's future sustainability is under threat as young people turn off. Ofcom, the UK regulatory authorities, said that fewer than 50% of 16 to 24-year-olds watch BBC programmes on an average week in the year ending March of this year, with younger viewers twice as likely to watch BBC programmes on Netflix than on their own iPlayer service. Public support for the licence fee apparently is eroding. That's it for Update. Compiled by the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to newsreader Rhiann Evans and producer Sarah Hendy, I'm Andy Wint. Back tomorrow.